Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Brett Clay is here, too. Brett's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 4 years, coming up on 5 years, actually. He is he's an author, international speaker, sales trainer, consultant, and the CEO of Change Leadership Group. He's the author of Selling Change. And he's working on his PhD, and we're being, over the last few visits and the next few, we're going to be treated to some of the work he's doing in his PhD that he's converting to things that you and I can use out here on Main Street. Brett Clay, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. It's great to be here.
Good to have you back. So that's what you're going to do, right? You're going to convert all this ivory tower stuff into something we can use on Main Street every day, right?
That's exactly right. I just wrote a paper on that.
Is that right? Tell us about that.
You do all this research and try to find what works and what doesn't, and then you go put that into practice.
Absolutely.
It's got to be useful.
Somebody needs to use it. So constructionism is a topic that you're working on in your PhD research. Tell us what constructionism means.
You know, we go through every day living our life thinking, this is just my life, this is the way life is, this is my world. And we don't realize that we're actually creating the world that we're living in. It's called constructionism, yes, but the idea is that if you're going to maintain a healthy and growing business, you constantly have to be changing, right? Maslow, I just have my personality textbook open here, talks about how neurosis is a failure of personal growth. So we always have to be changing.
Say that again.
So you, I'm sure you're familiar with the famous psychologist Abraham Maslow and his hierarchy.
But say that last part again.
So he says that a neurosis is a failure of personal growth.
So if you're dysfunctional, it's more likely that it's because you haven't grown than somebody else's fault, right?
Exactly. They're saying that to grow is to be human, is to be alive. You are constantly growing and improving in your life. And so that's kind of the first message, right? What are we doing to actually be better? You were talking earlier before we came on live that, you know, doing a PhD or an MBA or taking some class, getting some new skill, whether it's an accounting class or whatever, you know, what are we doing this week to improve ourselves, both in our business, right, learning new skills and things that help our business, and then also in our life.
I have a friend who says you're either green and growing or ripe and rotten.
I love that. Yes, ripe and rotten. So the thing is, if you're constantly growing and changing, what are we changing, right? Well, that depends on what we see, and what we see is depends on what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea of construction. So
let me stick something else in here for a minute. One of our Brain Trust members and someone I've been following long before I knew him was Joel Barker. And he did a lot of work on the concept of paradigms. And a lot of what you're describing sounds a lot to me like paradigms. He says a paradigm is a set of rules that we either have been established for us or that we established for ourselves, and that inside of which we find a way to be successful. And that,
right.
that's fine until the paradigm shifts and those rules are no longer competitive or valid. What do you think?
And they don't work.
That's right. But yet you don't change. And now we come back to what Maslow said.
Yeah, and the paradigm is very important. So we want to be looking at, be constructing rules for ourselves that work. Yes, and the world changes. We need to change along with it. The constructionism goes a little bit even beyond that and says what we're even looking at is we need to question what we're seeing. So, for example, one of the guys that was important people in this area is a guy named David Cooperreiter. He did some research on stress reduction. So he went into, nursing homes or hospitals and or whatever, and was asking, trying to help people reduce their stress. So they asked, what makes you stressed? Guess what happened? That everybody's stress went up because they were looking for what makes them stressed. So instead of asking what makes you stressed, let's do the opposite. What makes you happy, satisfied, mm-hmm. and relaxed? And guess what happens? Stress goes down. Mm-hmm. So if we look for stress, we will find stress. If we look for happiness, we will find happiness. If we look for profits, we will find profits. If we look for unhappy customers, we will find unhappy customers.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. And isn't that also the Pygmalion effect? Isn't that a term if a student expects a child to not perform well and treats him that way, he will perform that way. But if she has higher expectations for him and talks to him, treats him with those higher expectations, he'll raise his level of performance.
That's very, very similar. And what I'm saying is you are your own student that you're talking
mm-hmm.
to.
That's exactly right.
So what you look for and what you tell yourself and what is going to dramatically change what you do in your business, the course of that you choose. And that's another key thing that I've been learning here is this is all about choice. When we go through life and da-da-da, this happened, that happened, and I responded to it, but we're actually choosing what we're doing at every step of the way, every minute of our day.
Well, and I'll tell you, and folks, this is what I mean. What Brett's talking about right now is what I mean whenever, in any other time that we're together, when I talk about getting out of your own way. What do you think, Brett?
I love it. Yes.
Just get out of your own way. Most of my problems, most of the reasons, 90% or more maybe, of the reasons I haven't done is accomplished what I would like to have accomplished, or if I have an issue any particular day, most of the time, if I'm honest with myself, it's because I didn't get out of my own way. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Maslow actually had a term for that. And the idea is that to get out of our own way, we actually have to realize that it's good to succeed. It's okay if we succeed. Mm-hmm. Life does not have to be hard. We don't have to constantly be struggling and struggling and struggling. We can actually be happy. What a concept. We can give ourselves permission to succeed.
My friend Noah St. John wrote a book about that, Permission to Succeed. He was successful, and he felt so bad about it because he was more successful than his father. He actually went and asked his father for permission to be successful. And when his father said, of course, son, it changed his life.
That's a great story.
I love what you said there. Permission to succeed, folks. We've been talking about this on my show for 15 years at least. Give yourself permission to succeed. But first, you got to get out of your own way.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.